Chapter 7. For Love of the King. Every day I was sent a secret report by the chief of police, and the next afternoon I was playing cards with Fritz when Sapt brought it in. We learned that Duke Michael and the three had left Strelsau, and that Antoinette de Mauban had also left. Clearly, they had gone to Zender. The report also said that the people were unhappy because the king had not yet asked Princess Flavia to marry him. "Yes," said Fritz, "it's true. I've heard that the princess loves the king, and she's very sad." "Well," Sapt informed us, "I've arranged a dance at the royal palace this evening for the princess." "Why wasn't I told?" I asked angrily. But Sapt continued, "Everything is arranged, and tonight you must ask the princess to marry you." "No, I'll do nothing to hurt her," I cried. "All right, my boy," Sapt smiled gently. "Just say something nice to her, then. Remember, she thinks you're the king, and we don't want her to be angry with him, do we?" I understood, of course. If the king was saved, then Flavia must marry him. If he was not saved, then Sapt would ask me to stay and marry the princess. Duke Michael must not be king. The dance was wonderful. Flavia was beautiful, and I danced with her again and again. Everyone could feel our happiness. I forgot about the crowd of rich, colourful people who were watching us. I had eyes only for my beautiful Flavia. When supper had finished, Fritz touched me on the shoulder. I stood up, took Flavia's hand, and led her into a little room. They brought coffee to us, and then the door was closed quietly. The princess and I were alone. The windows of the little room opened onto the garden. The night was fine, and the room was filled with the sweet smell of the flowers outside. Flavia sat down, and I stood opposite her. I was fighting with myself. But then she looked at me, and I was lost. I forgot the king. I forgot who I was. I forgot everything. I fell to my knees, took her gently in my arms, and kissed her. Suddenly, she pushed me away. "Is it true? Do you really love me?" she cried. "Or is it because you're the king and you must marry me?" "No," I answered quietly. "I love you more than my life." Flavia smiled. "Oh, why do I love you now?" she said softly. "I didn't love you before, but I do now." How happy I was. It was not the king she loved. It was me. It was Rudolf Rassendyll. But as I looked into her lovely face, I knew I could not live with the lie. How could I pretend to be the king any longer? "There's something I must tell you," I began in a low voice.
"Your Majesty,"
said a voice from the garden.
"People are waiting to say goodbye."
It was Sapt. He had heard me talking to the princess.
"We'll come,"
I replied coldly. But Flavia, her eyes full of her love for me, held out her hand to Sapt as he came into the room. He took it and said softly and sadly, "God save your Royal Highness." And then he added, "But before all comes the king. God save the king." When Sapt told the people that Princess Flavia had accepted the king as her future husband, they were wild with happiness. "You know, Sapt," I said sadly, "I could marry the princess and let my people kill Duke Michael and the king."
"I know,"
Sapt replied quietly. "So we must go to Zenda and bring the king home at once," I said. Sapt put his hand on my shoulder.
"You're the finest Elfberg of them all," he said, with feeling.
Before we left Strausau, I saw the marshal and asked him to stay near Flavia, to take care of her and to keep her safe from Duke Michael. Then I went to say goodbye to her. At first she was cold with me. She did not understand why I wanted to leave her. But her anger changed to fear when I told her that I was going after Duke Michael.
"Oh, Rudolf, be careful," she cried. "He's a dangerous man. Please come back safely to me."
"Duke Michael can never keep me away from you," I promised. But in my heart, I knew that another man could.